This is Ned Ryan, President of American Majority, and welcome to Power to the People, Episode 4. I want to talk to you today about how you can use Twitter and Facebook effectively as activists. First, let me talk about Twitter. For those new to Twitter, let me give a brief description, an explanation. Twitter.com is where you sign up for a Twitter account, and then with Twitter, you are restricted to 140 characters per tweet. That includes spaces. It's microblogging. And on Twitter, you follow people and people follow you. People use it to share ideas, link to interesting articles, make comments on current events, and even use it to do fundraising. Politicians have been using it to allow followers to live vicariously through them, giving updates and reports as they tour their district or state, or even from the floor of the state legislature or the U.S. Congress. Probably one of the more interesting examples of the use of Twitter by a politician recently was Congressman John Culberson out of Texas in the summer of 2008. The Republicans were pushing hard on the issue of energy and the idea of drilling off the U.S. coast, and Speaker Nancy Pelosi wanted nothing to do with it, so she turned the lights off and pushed Congress into their August recess. Culberson began tweeting on what was taking place, and out of the whole occurrence came the Don't Go movement, centered around the drilling and energy issue. The thing about Twitter is that it allows someone to communicate instantly with his or her followers. Maybe one of the best uses of Twitter was the Obama campaign last year. They had the insight to see the benefits of this form of communication before many other politicians did. Now, Twitter offers two unique qualities. It allows someone to communicate directly with a wider audience with no middleman like a reporter or a news anchor. The information flow is straight from giver to receiver, with no muddling of the issue by means of someone else's interpretation or editing. The second important quality is that Twitter allows you to easily connect with people from across the country and even the world. You can follow the thoughts and opinions of interesting people and receive information from a variety of sources outside the mainstream media. Twitter offers a great way to connect, influence, and inform thousands of people you would otherwise have never met. Now, I'm talking about Twitter because the idea is to get you to think about, if you're not already, starting a Twitter account. It will take you 2 minutes max. Once you have a Twitter account, I'd encourage you to get a tweet. Go to TweetDeck.com. TweetDeck is simply an application that segments your followers, making it easier to communicate, track topics, and directly message another user much faster than a normal Twitter account. So now that you have set up a Twitter account and a TweetDeck account, what do you do? The first step is to fill out your bio, add a picture, and then do some work on your account appearance. In the beginning, your latest tweets and replies won't mean much to someone that doesn't know you. Your bio will be the only place you have to tell people who you are. Also, your bio is displayed on Twitter's suggested users page. Leaving it blank or non-descriptive doesn't encourage people to add you. These days, a lack of information and user picture will likely be taken as spam, and you'll not get the followers that you're looking for. Once you're happy with how your account looks to others, the next critical step is to get followers and to start following people. To determine who and how you're going to start following people, I recommend breaking the process up into two categories: topics that interest you and location. If you want to truly engage in the Twitter community, you need to add something to the conversation. If you are interested in education and politics, it doesn't make much sense to follow people who like to discuss entertainment and celebrities. Start by visiting some of your favorite websites, looking for links to their Twitter accounts, using Twitter's Find People feature to search for user accounts of prominent individuals related to your interests, and search for organizations that may have Twitter accounts. Now, once you have selected a few websites, organizations, and/or prominent people to follow, you simply begin following everyone who is following them. For instance, it is a safe assumption that most people following Karl Rove are interested in conservative politics. And if that is something that interests you, following these individuals would open up your community to topics concerning conservative politics. Another great benefit of following prominent Twitter users is in the beginning is that it offers you the chance to see the type of content they send out and how they address their audiences. Next, think about location. If you're going to discuss local sports teams, politics, or events, it would be beneficial to your Twitter followers if you sought them out because they lived in or around your community. You can find tweeters near you by visiting the Twitter search website, search.twitter.com, and clicking on their Advanced Options feature. it will allow you to search for Twitter users within a few miles of your community. Since Twitter has become a mainstream phenomenon, it is also highly recommended you bring your Twitter accounts into the physical world as well. Every time you talk with a friend, speak with a neighbor, visit a city council meeting, have lunch with a colleague at work, or hand out business cards, figure out a way to broadcast or display your Twitter account. You would be surprised how many people you know already have Twitter accounts. Okay, so now that you've begun following a small group of people, what do you want to communicate to them? I've proposed a couple of ideas to activists who want to use Twitter accounts effectively. Remember how during the days leading up to the Tea Party rallies that the left was accusing the right of astroturfing the events, i.e. making them seem organic and spontaneous when in fact there was some devious plot hatched by Fox News and other center-right figures? Some on the left even suggested that there was not really even going to be that many events. So one of the things I did was encourage the staff at American Majority to attend events, tweet on what they saw, and send pictures to Twitter for verification with their phones. My staff used twitpic.com to document many of the tea parties, so when the media reported much smaller crowds, we had evidence that in fact the crowds were much larger than what the media was representing. Now, I don't want to lose anyone here, but you can do this too by going to twitpic.com and signing up for their special email address. That's twitpic.com. Get a TwitPic account and an email address. Then when you take pictures that you want to send to Twitter, take a picture, punch in the TwitPic email, and then in the subject line of the email, put in the text that you want to appear with the picture. It's important to note that pictures are one of the best ways to get your information passed around. For instance, the picture of U.S. Airways Flight 1549 that crashed into the Hudson River was viewed 350,000 plus times. During your next tea party, practice sharing your experiences with the world via your TwitPic account. So, now that you are creating content and engaging with others, it's time to talk about the retweet. One of the most important components to Twitter is the ability to pass on important information, and it's called a retweet. What a retweet means is that someone found your information interesting and wanted to pass it on. The reason that this is so important is that it pushes your username into a foreign social graph. Everyone following that individual now sees you as a thought leader. If you are producing information that is good enough to pass on, you will likely get rewarded with more followers. And the more followers you accumulate, the more people you have the opportunity to expose to your cause. You can track your retweets at retweetist.com. Another use of Twitter that I'm encouraging is having several activists start to attend school board meetings or city council meetings and start tweeting about the issues being discussed. It will help with greater transparency by letting people know, almost to the moment, what is taking place. What if those activist Twitter accounts were fed into their blogs or an aggregated Twitter account that became a source of information for bloggers to then push that information out to the world? I think the opportunities are limitless. The advantages to Twitter are endless, and it's up to you to push this technology. As activists, we have the opportunity to document experiences, increase government transparency, and advance the cause in real time through 140-character tweets. There are tons of third-party applications that have sprung up to take your Twitter account to the next level, so take a look around. If you have any questions about something covered here, or just like to ask for some advice, please follow American Majority at America Majority, that is, without the N, or you can follow me personally under the name Ned Ryan, N-E-D-R-Y-U-N. But enough on Twitter. Let's talk about Facebook. I know some of you are thinking, isn't that a website for teenagers or college kids? And the answer is no, it's a tool by which you can start to build a coalition and an online community. I'm not going to go into too much detail about Facebook and its different aspects, but you can go to Facebook.com and start your Facebook account in a few minutes. It's free and it's easy to do. But the reason I'm talking about Facebook and how you can use it effectively as an activist is maybe best highlighted again with the Tea Party events that took place on April 15th, 2009. What I thought was great was that the local Tea Party organizers, instead of starting a website for their party, just went on to Facebook and started a Facebook group for their local Tea Party. People attending the parties became members of that group. What I thought was great was that this event, the Tea Party Revolution, brought many people together for the first time. It allowed them to intersect from different walks of life, different places, and it brought them together. What Facebook groups then allowed these people to do is continue that association in a quick and easy way after the physical event. And from these Facebook groups, or Ning groups, I don't want to distract from Facebook, but Ning is very similar to Facebook with some differences, but it is a social networking tool. From these groups come local online coalitions and communities that can continue the Tea Party revolution. For example, the Richmond, Virginia Tea Party, which I had the privilege of speaking at, has nearly 2,000 members for its Facebook group, and this from a Tea Party that had over 5,000 attending on April 15th. Those 2,000 people are now the basis for a coalition to work on and advance the Tea Party ideals. I hope these ideas on Twitter and Facebook are helpful. I know they are basic in places, but again, what I'm hoping to do with this series, is give people ideas, different thoughts, and suggestions that will hopefully spur them on to even greater and more effective activism.